that all things are under his control. Brother Stewart said something last night, I just remind you, we say it pretty often, God always has your best interest in mind. Always, always. Thankful for that, aren't you? Enjoyed Brother Stewart, again, the preaching the last few, again, Sunday and last night. Looking forward to tonight. That's my introduction. Come on, Brother Stewart, preach for us.
All right, amen. Psalm 23. Get anchored there. I have some handouts, but you'll have to pick it up, okay? Here it is. A lot of times I have a fistful. I put them in a little booklet form this time, but at the end of the service, I'm going to have these up front here. I'll just put two stacks over here like this. You can come by and get one per household. I ran 50 of them, so hopefully there'll be enough for each household, and I'll send the master to the church, and you can make copies of this, and I'll refer to it in a few moments, but it's an outstanding little booklet, and this is the first of three sections in it, okay? So I'll refer to that, but I'm going to set this over here. I don't want you curious about what this is. I told you what it is. You're going to get it if you want it, okay? All right, Psalm 23. Let's read it, and let me pull in Sunday school through last night into the message. In Sunday school, we put a frame around Psalm 23. And if it's a really good picture and you put a frame around it, you need to add a mat. Amen? So we put a mat around it Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we looked at the shepherd, especially emphasizing the God-man aspect. God. God in the flesh. Not just any ordinary shepherd. Last night, we tried to actually enter into the picture. We actually tried to get the feel of the shepherd and the sheep. I tried everything I could think of to try to make you and your thinking that sheep, and to actually see the shepherd and try to literally envision that the shepherd is literally in front of you. We come to church, we hear the concept, we get the picture, we get the analogy. It's very idyllic, it's very idealized, but we kind of leave it there. It's a concept out here. And I challenge you to try to, when you left last night, but at least when you got up this morning, try to be conscious of the shepherd going in front of you and you following him. We talked about being close, getting close. Okay? Brother Wiggins sang another one of my three favorite songs, and he knows about that trilogy. And the other one is, I found a friend who is all to me. Remember that one? So just thought I might hint about tomorrow night. I don't know if it's in the hymnal, but anyway. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Okay. Just those three together. But anyway, and the special tonight fits the emphasis of what we're going to be looking at. But I want you to read this psalm with me again. We're going to read all of it. It's okay if I read the whole psalm tonight? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Make it personal. Understand this is extremely important. The Bible was written. The Bible was meant to be applied by you. Just as strong as it was, as it is for anybody else. Amen? God's no respecter of persons. You're either in Christ or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. Amen? This is your Bible. Amen? This is your Bible. You say, I know I bought it. No, I don't. Better than that. I have bought things. I found out later on that really weren't mine. My wife took them over. But anyway, no. This is your book. It was written for you. This psalm is for you, just as much as anybody else. You're the one that's going to limit how much it benefits you. Right? Amen? We don't even have the ability in and of ourselves to apply it as fully as we should. We need grace for grace. We need grace to get God's grace. Isn't that a great statement in the Bible, grace for grace? It takes God's grace to get God's grace. That's how much we need grace. That's why it's amazing, wonderful, and marvelous. Hey, those would be three good themes for songs, all right? Go to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to kind of finish the flow of talking about the pastures, but especially the still waters. Ephesians chapter 5, okay? And we were kind of getting there. We just didn't have quite the time to put it in place. And the thing that you need to remember as we pick this up and slide into verses 3 and 4 tonight is the primary emphasis of Christianity is inward. Now, primary does not mean only. Primary does not mean exclusively. Primary means mostly, for the most part. It's very important we think about this. When we get to verses 3 and 4, we need to understand that if God is doing for us inwardly at the level we need it to be done inwardly, the contrary externals begin to fade. Paul said that I've learned that whatever state I am in, I have learned to be what? Where was he when he wrote that? Yeah. Okay. Wasn't a Holiday Inn. All right. Now, you're in Ephesians, so just stay there for a minute. We're talking about the Spirit-filled life. We're talking about that well of water with joy. You're going to draw water out of the wells of salvation, the one with the well. Jesus said, if you knew the water I'm talking about, you would want it and drink it, and you'd never thirst again. And he said that well is within you, John chapter 4. In John chapter 7, he made it very clear that that well of water is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. He said, Brother Stuart, tell me something I don't know. I just did. We don't know it like we need to know it. We need to know it better theologically, and we need to know it better experientially. Amen? You got everything you need when you got saved to be a success. In Romans chapter 6, you got a brand new standing. That's what baptism pictures. It's just as though you died. It's just as though you were buried. And it's just as though you rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. You got a brand new standing. The Bible uses this, and just to cut to the quick, the best illustration I can think of, and again, Paul uses it, etc. Christ uses it. I did something when I got married. By the way, when I got married, I got a brand new standing. You know what I did? I acted like I was married. When the wedding ceremony was over, after you got done with all that foo-faw stuff, we left. I had to have her home at night. The porch light would flip off and on. You know what I'm saying? Not anymore. We've gone to visit, but I've never taken her back. Amen? And her father didn't come after me. I have been acting like now for 39 years it really happened. Oh, you say, yeah, I see the wedding ring. Oh, no, I did more than that. I've never took her home. Amen? Why? Because we got a brand new standing. She left the headship of her father and came under my headship. Amen? By the way, it's my responsibility to take care of her now. Amen? Wasn't her dad's responsibility, my responsibility. Amen? Now, she looks better than I look, so you can see I've been taking very good care of her. Also, in chapter 7, I got a brand new nature. I got a brand new state. I got a new nature. We talked about this. I got a brand new nature. I got the divine nature. Peter told me. Paul describes it, the new man, amen, the new man. So I got a brand new standing, I got a brand new state, a brand new nature, and I got a brand new strength. The Holy Spirit came inside of me living, Romans chapter 8. You've got everything you need to succeed. Now here's kind of how you actuate it. Actuate it. Here's how it becomes effectual. Look at verse 16. Oh, excuse me, you're in Ephesians. Let me read verse 16 to you from Colossians 3. You stay in Ephesians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Listen to this. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A good choir practice is a Sunday school class. Amen? A good choir practice is another study. It's another Bible study. If you're thinking about what you're singing. You know, we have 150 psalms. This is big. This is where we're coming out tonight just for this. We have 150 psalms. It's truths about God put to music. Right? Great theology in the psalms. Let me tell you how good the theology is in the psalms. In the New Testament, when the apostles sought to prove that Jesus was Messiah, guess what book they quoted from more than any other book in the Old Testament? The Psalms. Now think about that a minute. That's how much doctrine, that's how much truth, that's how much Christ is put in the Psalms. When they set out to prove that Jesus was the Messiah, that He was supposed to live, He was supposed to die, He was supposed to be buried, He was supposed to rise from the dead, He was supposed to, the ascension's in the Psalms. The second coming's in the Psalms. That's how much God invested in music, amen? And we have the Psalms and we have hymnals. Boy, what a gift the hymnal is. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now watch this tie-in. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. If you're not there yet, I've given you a few minutes to find it. Chapter 5. Look at verse 18. And again, we're jumping in here. Look at verse 18. Chapter 5. Now what a picture. Be not drunk and be not drunk with wine. Now think about somebody that's drunk with wine. Think about how they're just completely controlled by that intoxication. You hear that word? Intoxicated means you've taken something in. You're intoxicated. Toxic? Intoxicated? Toxic means it's not good for you. Why are you putting it in there? Well, but anyway. Intoxicated, you've taken it in, and from the inside you're controlled by this alcohol that's in you, right? It's a graphic picture, but look what Paul says here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the what? Spirit. Now you sit there and you look at that and you think, okay, well, I got it, but what's this mystery? How do you be filled? Well, you pray all night and you fast and you pray and you fast and you pray and you fast. Hey, that'll do a lot of good, but look at the next verse. It's what we just read. Look what it says here. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. What's going on here? It's not hard. It's what we were talking about last night. Keep your mind on the Lord all day. We talked about Psalm 1. Meditate therein. Meditate therein. Meditate. Another word for meditate is ruminate. Somebody, I just thought of another great idea. I get these ideas about things that somebody could invent. It's still coming to me. Things somebody can invent. And they could make a lot of money on it. I just thought of it. Christian chewing gum. I talked about clove last night, right? I was thinking about the word for chewing your cud. Well, there's a better word. It's called ruminate. What sounds better, chewing your cud or ruminate? My mother would give me a half a stick of gum when I was a kid because she said, you look like a cow. Started to say, look like a chew, okay? Look like a cow chewing its cud. You know what cud is? You don't want to know, but anyway. Ruminate. Chew on it. Think about it. Savor it. You ever eaten something so good you didn't want to swallow it? I mean, it's like, whoa, especially if it's the last bite. It's like, wow, this is so good. You're drinking something, it's like, man, it's a blackberry Izzy. Whoo! pure juice with fizz water. The last little part there, you think, oh man, this is the last one. After I swallow, this is it, until I run to the store and get some more. That'd take about 15 minutes. So you say, oh, this is so good. That is what we're told to do, amen? What does the Bible say? If you tasted that the Word of God is what? What did Peter say? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You ever seen a newborn babe desire the milk? Have you ever seen a newborn baby desire the milk? If so be as you've tasted, the Lord is what? Gracious. You've got to find a way to meditate on the Word of God all day. Otherwise, you're going to be walking in the way of what? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and every Sunday, no. Off and on during the day, no. He will meditate on the Word of God day and night. Amen? Now, again, it's a lifestyle change. It's a mindset change. We were meant to live in continual, constant fellowship with God. Marriage is not two persons, it's three persons. It's the husband, the wife, and God. Amen? What we lost in Adam, we got back positionally, but we don't have it experientially. What are you going to do in heaven? We're going to be in constant fellowship with God in heaven. You say you're kidding. No, we're going to His house. The primary reason you have a mind, the primary reason you have a brain, the primary reason you can think and reason, the primary is to think on God. Am I making sense? This is a little bit of exhortation. We've got to buy into this thing, constant, continual fellowship with the Lord. You got to start practicing it. You'll catch yourself 9 o'clock in the morning, your mind is miles away. You got to pull it back in. One of the best ways is music. There's something about good Christian music. It's a way of just keeping your mind on the Lord. Okay? I don't sing real good, but I sing all the time. I can't help it because there's just so many great songs. And they build you up. Amen? Why do we have the Psalms? That tells us something, doesn't it? Now, here's a great verse. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because this is the foundation, what we're going to talk about. Because, let me just jump in so you make sure you see the connections. We're going to look at some pictures here. You're going to have some bruises in this life. You're going to have some injuries. Okay? You live with fallen people. Okay? We've all been struck with sin. And fallen people can hurt you. Amen? And by the way, some of our problems is what we do to ourselves. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's a devil. And he's got a few demons out there. And we're finite. So sometimes we make mistakes because we just do it out of ignorance, right? And if the Lord loves you so much, if He's such a great shepherd, why do you need to have your soul restored? Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a neat statement. Look at verse 7. And again, before we pray, look at this context. I don't have time, but chapter 3 starts off contrasting the New Testament with the Old Testament. And by the way, this is a New Testament church. We're in the New Testament. The Old Testament saints, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, they were getting this information from God. They were getting this revelation from God. They were writing down prophecies and scriptures. And Peter tells us that they begin to dawn upon them what they were writing about, these Old Testament prophets, and what they were meditating on and trying to understand. They begin to realize they weren't going to get to experience what they were writing about prophetically. That it was for New Testament saints. It was for those that were coming later. We're in it. We are in it. It was promised to Israel. They're going to get it during the millennial kingdom, but we have it right now. Amen? We got it in Christ. When Christ rose from the dead, the New Testament went into force. That wasn't very good. That's better, see? The New Testament went into force. That first one was the Old Testament. Okay? The Old Testament's glorious. But it says in chapter 3, the New Testament is far more glorious. I get a I love flashlights, remember? You get the most fantastic flashlight there is. You're sitting in line at Lowe's. You think, man, this is it. This is more powerful than 10 flashlights your grandfather had all in one. You buy it. You get up with the thought, I'm still just how powerful this flashlight is. So you go out in the morning. Forget noonday. You just go out in the morning. That flashlight is puny. It's nothing when the sun comes up, is it? Jesus was brighter than the noonday sun. The New Testament is so much more glorious than the Old Testament. Paul tells you it's as though it just fades out. Amen? Now, when you come to chapter 4, that flow continues. He talks about the light, the first day of creation. When you got saved, the light came on. Okay? Look at verse 7. This is talking about this treasure in verse 7 is the New Testament. So here we have this glorious New Testament that everybody here tonight would say, wow. I mean, the New Testament. Wow, Romans 6, 7, and 8. Brand new standing. Wow. A brand new state, a new nature, and a brand new strength, the Holy Spirit living inside of me, the fruit of the Spirit. What's the problem? Thank you for asking that. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure, what? And earthen vessels. You have one tonight. You're using an earthen vessel. That's you right now. That's that body. You have a terrestrial body, and you're being taught celestial truths. Amen? Aren't you glad when you're going to get a celestial body? Most of you won't recognize me. My wife would be the only one in this room recognizing me. Had a head full of hair and a few other things. But anyway, let's move on. But you have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So, we talked about the water. Let me share this brief little story with you. It's on the first page of what I brought for you tonight. I was given a couple of years ago a book on the Holy Spirit's ministry that is the best thing I've ever read. It was written over 100 years ago. I passed it out to school about a year ago. It is outstanding. There's a few issues there, but 95% of it is on the money. And he's got some tremendous illustrations in it. I started reading this thing, and as I'm reading, I'm going, boy, I'm glad I met that preacher. I read some more. Boy, that's good. Boy, I'm glad I crossed paths that preacher. I read some more. I thought, man, I'm glad I knew that preacher. I read some more. I'm glad that preacher told me about this book. It's fantastic. Listen to this illustration, then we're going to pray. As the westbound traveler speeds over the Alleghenies, that's a set of mountains, his watchful gaze can hardly fail to note the gleaming surface of a little artificial lake whose azure, that's blue-tinted waters, mirroring the skies above, as much the beauty of the great railroad system which spans her native state. This lakelet, embosomed in the depths of the mountains, is a reservoir which furnishes water to a busy neighboring city and is fed by a mountain stream of modest supply. In the drought of last summer, the infilling streams dwindled to a tiny thread. The waters of the reservoir sank to their lowest limits, and all the ills of a protracted water famine, with its constant menace to health and home, beset the city. The most rigid economy was urged by the authorities. The water was cut off, save for a few hours per day. And the scant supply of precious fluid was carefully husbanded against emergencies. Not 100 miles from this city lies a smaller one nestling also among the mountains, a body of water. In its very center bursts forth a natural fountain of unlimited abundance and marvelous beauty. In the same summer of disastrous drought, this famous spring, without abating one jot of its wondrous flow or sinking one inch below the lip of its encircling embankment, furnished the thirsty city with the fullest supply, and then still outflowed over its wasteware a sparkling, leaping stream of unstinted copiousness. That means just flowing and flowing, earning the right royally the privilege of not only of refreshing with its water, but of christening with its own name the city of the beautiful fountain. The larger city in truth had water, but the smaller one had it more abundantly. The scanty rivulet that trickled into the reservoir was barely enough to save from keen thirst, but the living, bubbling fountain pouring out its liquid wealth in a prodigal flow from its native town had left enough to slake the thirst of a city many times the size of its greater neighbor. And he goes on to say, even so is it with the life of the Holy Spirit and God's children. See, one was fed by just rainfall and so forth. The other one had an underground source. What happens when a man meditates the Word of God? He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where does a tree get its water? Through its root system. Underground water source, amen? What a picture. He goes on in this book and he compares. I used to talk about you need to charge your batteries in the morning. I've told people, what you got to do in the morning, you got to get up and charge those spiritual batteries. You got to charge those spiritual batteries and charge them up so as you go throughout the day. He has a better one. And it's 100 years old. They had batteries back then. He talks about batteries. He says, you know what's a better illustration than batteries? Trolley cars. They're hooked up to electricity. And as long as they stay in contact, the electricity flows through them all day. Amen? There's no charging. Charging means as the day goes on, it becomes more Jonathan Stewart and less Christ. Amen? But if you're hooked up to the wire, you're like a trolley car, and you stay in constant fellowship, as long as you're hooked up, the electricity flows through you. Amen? Does that make sense? Keep that in mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Help us to make good use of the time before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 23. Look how it starts off. We read it. Look how it starts off. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Sheep obviously need physical rest. Relief from irritants. Now, you may have never been irritated, but just imagine what it's like to be irritated. Now, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you listening? Listen, it's 2 o'clock. Honey, yeah? What's that noise? Is that the shower leaking? I don't hear it. You liar. Irritant. Sheep need nutrition and sheep need water. After a long day of following the shepherd to a safe place of retreat from the wind, wear, and woes of the day, a sheep gladly welcomes the nurturing hand of its shepherd. The sheep's been out all day. He's been following his shepherd. Folks, we live in a fallen world. God's not going to change the world for a while. God's not going to change the world for a while. He'll work on the outside some. By the way, if there was not more good than there was bad, we wouldn't be here tonight. There's a lot of bad in our world, but there's more good than bad. It's getting worse. And it's pretty soon God's got to step in like He did in the days of Noah, but there's still more good than bad, or we wouldn't be here tonight. You couldn't have a church like this, amen? So, as tough as it is, there's still a lot to enjoy, amen? I got a lot of happy memories. I have a lot of happy times. I've had some great times. I've stubbed my toe in the middle of a great vacation and it ruined it for about an hour. But you kind of get over it, you nurse it, and you think, God, it wasn't worse than it was. Okay? And we're going to stub our toes, amen? But life is not just about the external. Amen? We're not talking about having water flowing around us. We're talking about something on the inside flowing out. Amen? David goes beyond the physical with the phrase, He restoreth, that restoreth, that's the English way of saying it in a continuous sense. Well, in the Hebrew, in the Greek. How about in English? That's not old way of talking. That's giving you the sense of the word. That means in a continuous sense, restoreth. They didn't talk that way in the 1600s. This is the English language maxed out to express what the Hebrew, later the Greek, is saying. He restoreth my soul. He has an inward renewal. He restoreth my soul. By the way, you would not be here tonight and the older you are, the more it's true. If God did not restore your soul, you wouldn't be here tonight. Most of you here tonight have been through enough that in your own strength, if God wasn't as much of a reality as He is, you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen? Most of you here tonight, again, the older you are, by the way, Joseph went through a pretty tough thing early. What about old Daniel? Daniel, he probably never saw his mother and father again. They were probably killed by the Babylonians coming in. He was pulled out as a teenager. And listen, Babylon wasn't any resort place. And Israel was in bad shape, by the way. Things stunk in Israel when he went into captivity. God said it was so bad, they misused the prophets. They did this, 2 Chronicles 36. God says, I finally said, there's no remedy. And he let the Babylonians come in and take them to chastise them. And Daniel got to Babylon, and it was an evil, occultic center. It was bad. You could feel the darkness. And here's a teenager who had some real backbone. Here's a teenager, Josiah or somebody inspired, and this man lived for God, amen? And he was a eunuch, either not allowed or not even physically able to have children or have a marriage relationship. Was he bitter? No. In fact, later on, while Daniel was alive, the book of Ezekiel says, Jerusalem is so bad that if Noah and Job, pretty big names, amen? I mean, it's one thing to be alive and say, wow, Noah, and then later on Job, way back there, Job probably contemporary with Jacob, way back there. If Noah and Job, while Daniel's alive, Ezekiel records God saying twice, if Noah and Job and Daniel's still alive, and Daniel were in Jerusalem, I still would not hold back my judgment. Amen? How many think Daniel's a pretty good example? He was in the Old Testament economy. Amazing, amen? There's something about inward strength. Amen? If the body is one's self-sense consciousness, sense-oriented, and the spirit is one's God consciousness, then it's sensible to say the soul is one's self-consciousness. From time to time, all lose spirit, become soul-sick, even physically spent. They're downcast and in need of spiritual and therefore emotional, mental, and physical refreshment. More dramatically, sheep can become what is called cast. C-A-S-T, cast. What are you talking about? As we told you earlier, a sheep who stumbles into running waters can be toppled by the force of the flow. They got short legs, per se. Especially, they get a lot of wool on them, etc. If this happens, it will surely drown unless the shepherd is near at hand to rescue it. However, sheep can be toppled in other situations as well because of their frame. If with young, near to be delivered, a ewe, a female sheep, is especially vulnerable to falling on its back and not being able to get up. In this state, they will also not last long and will miscarry. David was indeed said to have given special attention to the ewes, great with young. You're in Psalms. Go to Psalm 78. Look at this statement here. Psalm 78. Now, what I'm trying to do here, I'm not just trying to say the same platitudes we hear. And they're not platitudes. They're great truths. But sometimes we just stay on the surface and we don't get engaged. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the reason I come down here is I come down here to let off some steam. This stuff gets inside of me so bad I'm about to explode. That's just why I'm built. And I preached the first few years on street corners and on a flat surface with people right in front of me in a temporary building as we were starting a church. So it's hard for me to stay up there. But I'm doing it because I want to do everything I can for you to just listen afresh to this and try to get across you tonight, and not me, but the Holy Spirit, that we've got to change our mindset. We've got to change our lifestyle. It's not just for preachers to study the Word of God all day. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were not preachers. Abraham, Nehemiah, etc. There are great Christian businessmen. There are great Christian women. In fact, when we get to heaven, you're going to be surprised on how many church members are being honored greater than preachers. The older I get, the more I appreciate those families, those men that worked day in and day out and kept Temple Baptist Church going. When you're kids, you don't understand. The youth director comes in, and boy, thank God for a church that's got a burden to have a youth director. And have a youth director pour his life, him and his wife's lives in these young people. A Christian school. These are good kids, but they're going to have to get older to really appreciate it. You just have to live a while, amen? Most of those people that are responsible for me having that church, humanly speaking, they're in heaven. I owe those people so much, it's unbelievable. Hey, anything I do for the Lord is fruit to their account. Amen? I'm telling you what, it's not just for preachers. It's for every Christian. Look at Psalm 78. What a picture. I want you to see this because David was an amazing young man. Look what it says in verse number 70. And if you read Psalm 78, God's describing himself as a shepherd leading Israel through the wilderness and leading him to the promised land. And he's talking about being a shepherd, and he talks about how he actually gave him a shepherd king. Think about this. Think about this. This is a picture of Christ. Amen? By the way, is Christ prophet? Yes. Is Christ priest? Yes. Is Christ king? Only one person can have all three offices. Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Nobody else is allowed to have all three offices. You have prophets and priests. You have priests, kings. You have Melchizedek. But you don't have them all. But Christ. Uzziah found that out, didn't he? Yeah, he found that out real quick. You say, I don't have time to tell you. Go check it out. Look at verse 70. He chose David also his what? Servant. And took him from the sheepfolds. Remember the story? Remember the story? Samuel shows up and he's going to anoint a king to replace Saul. He gets to Jesse. He lines the boys up. And boy, that first son, Eliab, he's standing there and he's the firstborn. And even Samuel looked at him and said, Hey. There he is right before me. There's the Lord's anointed. And God said, no, that's not the right one. Oh. Well, the brother's standing right beside him. He goes, whoa. So I'm going to sit there, yeah. Not him. Come all the way down, pink. And Samuel says, none of these are the Lord's anointed. Don't you have any other sons? The brothers are going, huh? He says, well, I've got one out with the sheep. Samuel says, go fetch him. We will not sit down until he comes. And you don't see it, but here comes David. Okay, look. God chose David from among the what? Sheepfolds. God wanted a king who treated his people like a shepherd treats his sheep. Oh, by the way, who does David picture? Christ. Look at this. From following the ewes, great with young. Now, what's that talking about? Now, some people think it means they've just had their little lambs. You ever seen a little lamb? You know, most, I didn't say all, there are just some ugly dogs, okay? But most little animals are cute. I mean, you ever seen a little baby pig? I mean, some of them can be really cute, okay? You ever seen a little lamb? He's just barely able to walk. He's just looking around. The picture here is of a mother sheep with maybe a little lamb or something, or she's probably still carrying it. And she's just about to deliver, and she's toward the back, and you got to slow down. You can't move along as much as you need to. And David was especially mindful. And look, you say, well, yeah, sure, be mindful. I mean, he wants some extra sheep. That's not what God's saying here. This is not a business deal, amen? God is saying there was something in David's heart that he was patient and sympathetic with those mother sheep, ewes, who are about to deliver. Why? Because they were vulnerable, amen? God says, that's the person I want to be king over my people. That's what he's saying here. And it says, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his what? Inheritance. Look at verse 22. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his what? You just heard us sing a few moments. Where's that sister that sang a few months ago? I thought she was in here. Oh, there she is. Okay. She was singing about God's integrity. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. But your pastor just referred to it in a minute. Look what it says. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Amen. What a picture. What a picture. The psalmist, turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. There are people that are not in church tonight. I'm not talking about here. I'm not talking about necessarily Tuesday night. Yes, it would apply, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are not in church anymore that used to be in churches like this. What happened? What happened? And by the way, but for the grace of God, there would I be. Amen? Look at Psalm 42 here. And look at verse number 1. Remember what the pastor said there tonight? As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Okay, again, let's stop here. Now, guys, this doesn't sound real worldly. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. Okay? I'm not trying to take the lollipop out of your hand. Just listen to me. This really is more exciting than the football game that's on Sunday. You say, well, you blew it. There's no football on right now. Okay, excuse me. The upcoming baseball season. Basketball, whatever. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and stand and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise of the multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He restoreth my soul. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his what? We're going to have trials and tribulations. Amen? We're going to have them. You can be right in the center of God's will in the Sea of Galilee and have a storm come up that scares the daylights out of you. Especially if it's nighttime. But anyway, it can scare you to death. Amen? It doesn't mean God's not there. Here's the problem. And I can preach this forever, but if I don't walk with the Lord on a daily basis, it's just an intellectual concept. Here's the point. The internal is more important than the external. The reason we get overwhelmed so easily because of what's going on the outside is of more influence than what's going on the inside. You say, Brother Stewart, I have to go out and work the job. Oh, so you mean God can't go with you? He can't go with you? Yeah, Christ didn't know what work was, did he? He only made the universe in 6 days. Okay? Hey, can you take God to work with you? Yeah. How about this? Can you follow God to your job? Remember the electric car? How many say, Brother Stewart, I'm kind of like the battery. I get up in the morning, I have a devotional time. By about 10 o'clock, you can start to feel it drain a little bit. But at noon, I'll read a few scriptures and charge it up. How about just staying in touch all day? Thou shalt meditate therein what? Day and night. Amen? Amen. Here's the problem, guys. Something supernatural's got to happen. Our eyes got to get open. We've got to have a change of a mindset. We've got to come to a new lifestyle. Now listen, all I want to get accomplished tonight, more than anything, is, for the lack of a better word, sell you on this idea. We got a brand new standing, amen? Did we get a brand new standing? Did we get a brand new nature? Does the Holy Spirit live inside of us? Why do we not feel? Because we don't stay in constant fellowship. You say, why? Because the people we're around aren't in constant fellowship. You get around good Christian people, and they're good Christian people, and they're better be around than most people, usually. But anyway, I mean, hey, it's good, but you know what? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, are you singing, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer? I don't know what you're going to do for a radio station. I got cars that sound more spiritual anyway, but anyway, you know, cars without oil. But anyway, what I'm saying to you is, folks, the psalmist is going through a lot here. And he talks about the ascension and so forth. I don't want to get into that right now. Now, follow me here. This is from Philip Killer. Now, this is so good. When I read this, this was at the tail end of the message last night. I stuck it in here because I wanted to get to this. Because this is important. Why the parched seasons in one's life? When prayers seem to go unanswered, our witness seemingly falling on deaf ears, stagnation in relationships or career advancement. Philip Keller, a shepherd who authored a devotional commentary on Psalm 23, remarked that the dry, semi-arid areas are the best for most breeds of sheep because they are less prone to hazards. Go ahead. Okay, go to the next one real quick. All right, back up. Forget it for now. Just go back to that second one. I did have a slide there I thought I had. Now watch this. They are less prone to hazards of health or parasites. When you're in a kind of a dry, arid area, you don't have a lot of insects. There's not as much problems in those dry, arid areas, okay? Listen to this. There are less alternative foods in a more desert-like area. There are less foods that are not as healthy for sheep there that you have to contend with. How many have ever tried to teach children to eat what's on their plate? This setting helps the lesser. When you have less stuff to eat, then there's less to distract. This setting helps the lesser to not distract from the rich grasses the shepherd has prepared, for which they would have no appetite if he had left them to their scavenging along the way. In other words, the shepherd takes them in a way where there's less distractions, less vulnerabilities, less problems. But if the sheep doesn't understand it, he goes, man, is this all we got? It's so dry, it's so arid. What did she just sing about a few minutes ago? What was the harmony about? We can trust the skillfulness of God. We can trust the integrity of God, amen? Wow. In other words, God above all wants you in the Bible daily. The shepherd wants the greenest pastures and the freshest waters for his flock. Sheep, not us, sheep, often want tasty but poor, if not dangerous, substitutes for what the shepherd has provided. How many have seen a cow stretch their neck through a barbed wire fence, stretch their neck to eat a bunch of junky weeds there, and they got this beautiful field? Why? Because it's on the other side of the fence. You walk into a building and it says, don't open this door. There's a sign that says, don't open this door. And to make it even worse, it says, pastor says so. Yeah, wow. You better put a sign on that door, man. Why is it if it says don't go there, we want to go there? Okay? Hope thou in God. Rely upon God. Have a confident expectation that God will intervene. Praise Him through the trials, challenge. Refocus. Keep looking at God and His attributes and not your troubles. Remember who your God is. Recall to mind again and again and again what God has done for you in the past. Now look at the next phrase. Go back to Psalm 23 and look at this next phrase. Look at the context here now. What is he doing? Verse 3, he restores my soul. How has he restored your soul? He leads me in paths of righteousness. Amen? You're here tonight. You're in the right path tonight. Amen? How many would say the shepherd would have led you to church tonight? How many would say that? Yeah, absolutely. The shepherd led you. This is where the shepherd would lead you on Tuesday nights, wouldn't he? Paths of righteousness for his what? Namesake. The shepherd wants to have the reputation of being a good shepherd. Amen? If people are judging your shepherd by you, how would they judge you? Are you a Psalm 23 sheep? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He makes me lie down in what? Green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Amen? You see the picture here? Now, we're talking about maximum restoration. Living in the overflow. Amen? Maximum restoration. Wow. The sheep wants to be glorified, and the shepherd wants to be glorified in us. Now, get a hold of this. I'm winding this down to make a big point. Do you know that man needs to be domesticated by God? Did you hear what I said? How can you use the shepherd sheep analogy and not say, you know, if I'm a sheep, then I'm not supposed to be real self-willed. I'm supposed to be following the shepherd. Amen? You got to thank a lot of your shepherd to do this, by the way, don't you? And you got to thank a lot of where he leads you in his provisions, etc. You got to thank a lot of the Word of God. You got to thank a lot of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Right? Man needs to be domesticated. God so designed it this way in order that a man might have a close fellowship with him. The songwriter Robert Robertson wrote, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Years ago, when this song had not been out very long, kind of had faded a little bit, but it had been out a while, this stagecoach was going across out west somewhere, and this lady was sitting across from this man, and she started humming this song. And sometimes she would say just a few words, and the guy said, "Ma'am, could you please not do that?" And she said, "Well, okay." Well, after a while, she started doing it again, the same song, this song right here. And he was getting irritated. He finally said, "Ma'am, please." And soon she was doing it again, and he said, "Ma'am, please, at least don't do that song." She said, What's your problem?" He said, "Because I wrote that song, and I'm away from God." You can read that in Craigle's book on great hymns. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Now, look at this next verse. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art what? With me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Look at the screen here for a second. Look at this picture. Look at this picture. How many believe that that actually portrays what happened when you got saved? Amen? How many, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me"? Let me just tell you this. There's a lot of debate about the rod and staff, and you'll hear some people say it's actually the same thing. There's a rod aspect to it. There's a staff to it. Some people say you swap them around. In the Bible, the rod represents the law. Christ is going to break the wicked with the rod of his authority, etc. The law for us is not something to really be afraid of if we're saved. Do you know what the law is saying? Love others as yourself. The law is saying the Ten Commandments are 10 examples of loving others as yourself. Do you know the law is not just a good principle God gave? It's God's very nature on our level, the Ten Commandments. Stealing's wrong, not just because God said so. It's because you're loving yourself more than the person you're stealing from. See? If you say bad things about a person, you're stealing their honor. If you use God's name in vain, you're stealing God's honor. Amen? If you covet another man's wife, you're wanting to steal that man's wife. It's all about stealing. It's yourself above everybody else. Jesus said, "As you would have man do unto you, do you also to them, for this is the law." And the prophets, Romans 13 says, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know what the Ten Commandments show us? You know what the law tells us? God loves us as much as he loves himself. Thy rod and thy what? Staff comforteth me. I want to tell you tonight. God loves you as much as he loves himself. Amen? And you know that. You know that. Tonight is not the brain candy, not the brain exercise. Tonight is bringing home a recognition that life has its hurts and turmoils and challenges. We live in an evil, fallen world. By the way, we're just here for a short time. We've got all of eternity. And God works all things together for good. But here's the problem. We've got inwardly what we need. We're just not accessing it. This is not just an ideal that's supposed to warm us up. This is a mindset. This is a lifestyle. Am I going to follow the shepherd? Am I going to really go with him? Listen to this statement. Dr. Andrew Bonar told me how in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into places that he couldn't get out of. I don't know how he got there. You know what? I think he's probably the 10th one. The other 9 aren't there. They tried. They didn't make it. This one made it. Amen? I don't know how he got there. Have you ever gotten in a situation you don't know how you got there? I can tell you a few stories. I think you could too. But you're not there right now, are you? Look at this. They get into a place they can't get out of. I looked for a long time for this picture. The grass on these mountains is very sweet and the sheep like it. There may have been a really nice clump of grass there. He said, well, why that? Well, he's got grass there, but look at that one. I mean, you know. And they will jump down 10 or 12 feet. A sheep will jump down 10 or 12 feet and they can't jump back up again. You know, credit card debt? Oh, no, that's not. And the shepherd hears them bleeding in distress. Now, the shepherd's going to go, well, you dumb, stupid cluck. Look at the shepherd. What if he slips? He's going to rescue him. That shepherd, he's got that staff, and look at it. Looks like he's used it before. It looks like the 99 are okay, but there's one sheep that needs help. Amen? That was me one day. A little 11-year-old boy in a little town called Hutchinson, Kansas. At that time, there were probably 5 billion people on this planet, maybe 4. Amen? They may be there for a few days. Why? Until they've eaten all the grass. The shepherd will wait until they are so faint they cannot stand. Now, if that sheep, look how, you say he's scared. Yeah, he's scared, but he's hungry, he's weak, he's tired. In the picture, the concept I want you to get is that shepherd didn't go get him right away. Why? Because if he goes too soon, that sheep is spooked and he's strong and he may go ahead and fall off there. Are you hearing me? Let me make sure you get this. I have gotten myself in some situations. I've had an attitude of stuff and so forth. And I learned out of them. Amen? And it humbled me a little bit. Made me more reliant upon the Lord. Made me more grateful that God got me out of that situation. Are you hearing me? And sometimes he has to let you kind of face the consequence for a few days. Amen? The shepherd will wait until they're so faint they cannot stand, and then he will put a rope around him. He will go over and pull that sheep up out of the jaws of death. Why don't they go down there when the sheep first gets there? I asked. Ah, he said. They are so very foolish they would dash right over the precipice and be killed if they did. And that is the way with men at times. They won't go back to God till they have no friends and have lost everything. If you are a wonder, I tell you that the good shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him save you his own way. Now, the greatest thing that's coming is death. And it says here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't know how many times you've already done that. You have been close to death and didn't even know it at times. You say, I about had a wreck the other day. Yeah, but I'm talking about the times you didn't even know it. You didn't even know it, amen? And there's times where you had a brush with death, medical brush. Something happened, and you didn't know if you were going to come through it, amen? What did you want more than anything else when you're in a desperate situation, Christian? I'm talking to Christian tonight. When no man can help you, when there's nobody there that can pull you through, when there's nobody else, I mean nobody, you can call friends, you can have the preacher pray with you, and you realize, you know what? There's nobody can help me but God. Did you want God? Did you call out to God? Did you pray to God? Did you? Amen? Did you? Why do we wait until those times? Amen? Why not enjoy that passion and fellowship all the time? You say, Brother Stuart, wonderful, great, but not real. Oh, what you're doing is real? What I'm doing is real? Just the battery approach? You say, I'm not even doing the battery. Boy, that's, you know, at least charge the battery in the morning, amen? Follow the shepherd all day. And when the bites come from other sheep, you know, other sheep can bite you at church, amen? You say, I can't believe it happened at church. You get together 4, 5, 6 times a week at a church, you're going to get bit by another sheep. If you come for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning once a month, you're not probably have it happen. Amen? And you're going to make some mistakes and blame on somebody else, et cetera, and so forth. But listen to me. Listen to me. This tonight is really kind of the rub. I've tried to set you up tonight because you heard about daily devotions. Brethren, you got to get in the Word of God. And whatever you study, you got to keep it in mind all day. If you don't sing, start singing. You say, people won't like it. Sing to yourself. Stay in touch. Get a scripture. Stay in touch all day, amen? Is this picture of a shepherd he leads and the sheep go run off? No, that's not what you want. And listen, folks, don't ever get in that situation again. But if you do, guess who's going to come rescue you? Amen? Let's all stand as your pastor comes.
Amen. Hymn 162, Lord, I'm coming home. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, what truths were presented tonight. Lord, may we trust you as our shepherd. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 162, Lord.